It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll talk about the future of investigative journalism with a guest from the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism.
But first, we're talking with a chemical weapons expert about the latest news on Syria.
Reports say that Syria's President Bashar al-Assad has accepted a Russian proposal to turn over all of his country's chemical weapons.
While there's skepticism from the U.S. government, unnamed officials have said that this could prevent an American military strike against Syria.
But how would all this work? Here to help us break down that question is Paul Walker, Director of Environmental Security and Sustainability for Green Cross International. He's also a member of the Board of Directors of the Arms Control Association. Paul Walker, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rob. Glad to be with you.
So first of all, what's your reaction to the news this afternoon that Syria agreed to disclose the location of its chemical weapons, halt production, and show its facilities to the international community?
You know, I think this is very good news. It's sort of the one option that President Bashar al-Assad in Syria has, I think, to escape a really major military attack from the United States and allied forces. So I think it's an excellent step forward. Syria has dodged trying to join the Chemical Weapons Convention for 20 years now, since it first opened for signature in 1993. And it also puts pressure, if he joins and we go in and can identify and inspect his weapons, it puts tremendous pressure then on Israel and Egypt, which are also two countries of the remaining seven which have never joined the Chemical Weapons Convention.
Well, it seems like a really tall order in the heat of the moment, in the midst of a war within Syria. The notion that outside inspectors could get in, figure out what all weapons, chemical weapons Syria had, verify that they've all left the country. How the heck do you get started doing something like that?
Well, the first thing is that President Assad has to accede to the Chemical Weapons Convention, and he can do that given his dictatorship. He can sign a document and join the convention, really almost overnight, I would think. And then under the convention, he has to, within 30 days, declare his whole stockpile, and that includes each individual munition has to be, you know, location, type, agent. He has to declare all of his production facilities related to chemical weapons production and all of his laboratories and research and development as well, and all of the launch systems he may have to launch chemical weapons. If he does that, which it sounds like from the news that he's willing to do, then the next step is that the OPCW, the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, which is the multilateral implementing agency in The Hague in the Netherlands, has to review that documentation and verify whether it's fully accurate and comprehensive. And if it's not, typically it is. You know, all but one of the declared possessor countries have fully declared their stockpiles up to now. Libya being the exception a few years ago. If it's comprehensive, then they can move right forward and start sending in OPCW inspectors to inventory the whole stockpile, really barcode, so to speak, every single weapon, and begin to lock down all the facilities until a destruction program can be worked out.
How hard would it be for a current signatory of the treaty, much less Syria, to keep some stockpile secret, to report some of what they got, but to produce and store chemical weapons outside of the purview of the Chemical Weapons Convention?
Well, the OPCW, you know, can only really inspect whatever the state party, the country, in this case Syria, declares. So when inspectors go into a member country, they inspect everything that's been declared, you know, lock, stock, and barrel, as we say. But they're not authorized to go searching, you know, like a detective for other facilities. So in this particular case where you have Syria, which has been suspected of having chemical weapons for a long, long time, and now, you know, a few months ago declared that they had a chemical weapons stockpile and has allegedly used it as many as, you know, 10 or 15 times in the last 6 months, I think it would probably have to be, whatever their declaration was, would have to be very carefully compared with intelligence reports from other countries, namely the United States and Israel and other European and Russia as well. And if, in fact, we felt that there was some facility missing from their declaration, under the Chemical Weapons Convention, one can then request a challenge inspection, as long as they're a member of the of the Chemical Weapons Convention. And so a challenge inspection would likely be declared by the United States or Russia or some group of countries. And the OPCW inspectors are obliged then to go in and inspect that site, wherever it might be, within 48 hours. So I think a full declaration is actually quite implementable and quite enforceable as well. The big challenge, Rob, would really be the long-term destruction program.
And that was my next question. Suppose this happens, a military strike from the U.S. is averted, Syria really does reveal its entire stockpile, its production system. Then what? How do you get this stuff out of the country? How do you dispose of it?
Well, I think the number one question is, first of all, what's in the stockpile? So you have to determine, you know, what agents are there? Are they blister agents? Are they nerve agents? You secondly have to determine whether, in fact, they're weaponized or not. Are the agents in bulk storage, in barrels and containers, or are the agents in blister and nerve agents in weapon systems? The third question is, if they're in weapon systems, are the weapon systems also, do they also contain explosives and rocket propellant, which is the case in most of the American weapons we have here in the United States. And so once you answer those questions, you can determine what technologies may be relevant to destroy the stockpiles and whether you can transport the stockpiles at all. In most cases, certainly in both Russia and the United States, which are the two big chemical weapon possessor states, transport to any major transportation has been fully prohibited. So destruction facilities then have to be constructed in situ, sort of at the site, within, in the best of cases, a few hundred yards of whatever the stockpile depot is. So that may necessitate the construction of not one, but several destruction facilities of various types. Any sort of transportation of the stockpile is probably prohibitive, unless it's non-weaponized. In other words, you're not dealing with weapons, you're just dealing with agent, or better yet, it's not even agent, it's actually precursor chemicals, which I think some reports have said a lot of his stockpile may be in precursor chemicals, which are not as dangerous because they have to be mixed together first to form live agent. So if it's precursor chemicals, which are industrial chemicals, basically toxic, very toxic but and dangerous, but not a weapon, some of that could be transported to a central destruction facility, or even out of the country, if they wanted to build the destruction facilities in a contiguous country. But we're not talking, you know, moving these weapons to Russia or any distant place. I think at the most, you'd be talking about moving them perhaps into a more secure location within Syria, or, you know, one might even consider across the border into Turkey or Jordan. But I think it's likely that destruction would have to take place in Syria, because this is a dangerous operation. And then the question is, you know, under the civil war circumstances, could we in fact guarantee the safety and security of the inspectors, which have to be there on site 24/7 as long as destruction takes place, and or the construction workers, which would have to be there to build the facilities.
This is not something that's going to happen fast. Roughly, what would the timeline be if every step went well, from the diplomacy to getting the inspectors and the people destroying these weapons on the ground?
You know, I think in the best of cases, we'd have a full declaration and an inventory on the weapons probably within 2 to 3 months. I think that's kind of the time frame. We're not talking weeks. I think we're talking months in this case. And for destruction of the facilities, we'd be talking years. So I think in the best of cases, probably, depending on the size of the stockpile, probably 3 to 5 years is what it is. It's just a rough estimate. I mean, the United States, you know, has been destroying its stockpile, which is much larger, but has been destroying its stockpile for 23 years now, and we still have another 10 years to go,
wow,
at least. So we're talking 33 years in the case of the United States. But that's a stockpile that's probably maybe 25 to 30 times the size of the Syrian stockpile. In the case of Russia, Russia's been destroying its stockpile, which is 40 times or more the alleged size of the Syrian stockpile, for the last 12 years, and still has probably another 5 to 10 years to go.
Paul, that's all the time we have. Thanks a lot for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
That's Paul Walker. He's with Green Cross International, led the effort to establish the Chemical Weapons Convention Coalition.
Coming up, we'll talk about how investigative journalism is faring in the changing media landscape. This is Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.